Well, that would be great if after this sermon that we would lift our voice, cry out to him. That's my prayer. Now, I want to ask you, how often do you pray? Where and when? Do you pray in times of crisis or when you're on a high? Are you concerned about your prayer life? Is it dwindling away? Someone once told me, when you're backsliding, your prayer life goes first. So do you commit a time of day to pray? Well, they're all very important questions. And we're going to look now at Habakkuk's prayer. And of course, Jesus's prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is a model, and we, like Tim said some weeks ago, we shouldn't stray away from that. But there are lessons as well in other prayers in the Bible, isn't there? So we're looking at Habakkuk's prayer. It's in on page 950 in the Church Bible, sandwiched between Nahum and Zephaniah, if you can find them. So, let's read it first of all. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, according to, pardon my English here, or Hebrew, whatever it is, Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard the report of you and your work, O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Now, how many of you watch Saturday night TV? There's a new program out called The Voice. And the idea of The Voice is that a contestant is on stage singing, and there are four judges in chairs in front of the contestant, and they are facing away from the contestant. Now, as the contestant is singing along, if he or she has that wow factor, that the voice, or as Tom would say, you've got a great voice, then the judges, Tom Jones including, would turn their chairs, and by turning the chair, would show their appreciation to what they've heard. Now, I want us to use that illustration and think of it that we are the contestants praying to an almighty judge, our God. What would hit the right notes? What would please God? What would make him turn and hear our prayer? Now, I'm looking around the room and I can see many Christians here. But if you are not believing tonight, rest assured that God will not hear your prayer. I will qualify that, but if you were to turn with me to 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, it clearly says this: For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, the Christian's prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. If you are not believing tonight, God will not hear your prayer, unless, of course, it is a prayer of repentance, and you want to become one of his children. But if you are a believer, you can still pray a very selfish prayer, etc., etc. And I wonder whether God is pleased to hear those prayers. Will he turn in his chair and show his appreciation to you? I doubt it. But let's look at what Habakkuk's prayer is all about. First of all, his humility. These are the elements of Habakkuk's prayer. First is humility. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones uses the word humiliation. Because up until now, as you've been following the series with Tim and others, Habakkuk has got a problem with God's plan. He is concerned for Israel and is bemused or dumbfounded by the fact that God is ready to use the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, to discipline Israel. He can't understand it because these group of people are violent and they are a nasty nation. You just have to turn to chapter 1 of Habakkuk, verse 2. How long shall I cry for you for help and you will not hear, or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? He's got a real problem with them. And God answers him and says, I am doing a work in your days, verse 5, that you will not believe if told. I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation. Well, Habakkuk's got a problem with this, but God answers him. He, in a way, rebukes him, hushes him, and it's humiliating. That's the word Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones uses. You know, when you're taught a lesson by an enemy, it's humiliating, isn't it? When I play table tennis here on a Friday night and I lose, oh, I'm humiliated. And I dare not look my opponent in the eye. And I try to walk away. But you know, it's humiliating to be taught a lesson, especially from an enemy. Consider Habakkuk, to be taught a lesson by the Babylonians. But you know, Habakkuk's problem, or I should say, real problem, is not the Babylonians. It's himself. It's Israel. They're the ones who've strayed away and deserve this discipline. In the commentaries, they all agree that Habakkuk finally stops comparing Israel and himself, the situation, with other things. So instead of saying to God, why use the Babylonians? They're a horrible nation. Instead, he should be seeing that, oof, Israel, we're a horrible nation. The same with us. Instead of saying, oh God, why don't you do this and that? You know, bless us. Instead, we should be coming before God and saying, oof, we don't deserve to be blessed. We're a horrible, horrible set of people. Now, one commentator, David Pryor, says there's an immense sea change now in the way Habakkuk thinks. And I agree with him, because look at chapter 2, verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Habakkuk's been hushed. And Habakkuk's response is to turn to God in prayer. And it's not a grumbling anymore. There's no verses of, oh, do something else. Do you know what I mean? It is a prayer now of not grumbling, but of acceptance, of humility. Imagine if we never get hushed by God. We'd be in a constant state of, oh, grumble. We'd become grumpy with each other, probably. Do you think God wants to hear that? I agree, it's good to wrestle with God sometimes, but there comes a time when we need to be hushed. Again, picture yourself on that stage. You're a contestant, and you grumble No one wants to hear that. Especially our Heavenly Father. We should come to the conclusion that He is in His holy temple. He knows best. He deserves to be acknowledged as an almighty, all-wise God. Habakkuk finally gets it. And his prayer starts and ends. No arguing, questioning, no protest or appeal. No appeal to reverse this judgment, but instead, God, you are perfect and just. And his thinking has been illuminated. He's having dialogue now with God, and it all becomes clear. He sees how poor and weak and undeserving he is. And we should be of the same mind. What does that word, I struggle to pronounce, Shigionoth, what does that mean? A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, according to Shigionoth. Well, I'm told that it means to reel to and fro. You can imagine the illustration of being on a crest of a wave, being tossed to and fro. And you can see there's other illustrations of being on water later on, but it's to and fro. Commentators say this is points to a deep and violent feelings that were rolling like surging waves and billows over the prophet, backwards and forwards, until he finds peace. I read in my quiet time this week of an almighty Saviour who was on a boat with his disciples who calmed the storm. Oof. Again, we should be hushed. We should stop to-ing and fro-ing, but instead come to peace, knowing our Lord is almighty and all-wise. So when we've come to this point, humility, we can then look at the second point, which is adoration. This is the second ingredient we need on that stage to please our God. It's adoration. Now, I've said Habakkuk has been in dialogue with God. Well, he can't help it then, can he, but to adore God. He's had a wonderful dialogue where God has told him things like, I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. Or chapter 2, verse 4. But the righteous shall live by faith. Or verse 14, I like this. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What else do we read from these? Verse 2, notice this. O Lord, I have heard the report of you. Or it could say, I've heard your fame. He's had this personal dialogue, but he's also heard this other thing which is common to everybody. What is this thing common to everybody? Well, it's his work. His deeds, verse 2, and your work, O Lord, do I fear. So he's heard the word. It's the same, is it of interest maybe to the some of you? But the word here, I have heard the report of you, is the same word used of Queen of Sheba hearing of King Solomon. So that ripple of news. Habakkuk's heard that as well, of this almighty God. But he's basing it on things that are common to all of Israel. What he did through the Exodus and other great things. That's why I wanted him looking back at that. So Habakkuk is not basing something private to him. Oh no, this is something common to everyone. And they were looking back to Exodus, But we look back to Jesus Christ, and that should fill us with hope. And when he thinks about it, dwells on it, he fears it. He's in awe of God. I have heard the report of you and your work. O Lord, do I fear? I'm in awe. And it's an awe that is mentioned in Psalm 119. If you turn with me to Psalm 119, just so that we get a perspective of what kind of fear we should have of God. Psalm 119, verse 120. It says this, "My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments." Our flesh should tremble. This is the God we approach in prayer. We should tremble. Imagine the things he has done. It's reverential fear, isn't it? And again, we read of this fear, this awe, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 to 29. I can just read it to you. "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." This God hates sin. And because he hates sin, we should tremble with fear, especially because of what he's done. But then again, he's merciful, isn't he? And like I said, we don't look to the Exodus anymore. We can look to the great redeeming act in history, the work on the cross. Can I just give you another illustration of how we should be trembling with fear? That same chap Dave spoke about, listened to the hacker on the video, and he said, "Oof." He said his hairs were standing up and he had goosebumps. Well, they were just dancing around, weren't they? Can you imagine having goosebumps coming before God? So we are to be humble, but we're also to adore God. Adoration, acknowledge. You know, everyone likes to hear when they've done good. God is no different. He wants to hear how good he has been, and we should acknowledge him and give him the praise he deserves. Thirdly, and most importantly, I think, is petition. Now, at this point, again, think of the game show. You're on the stage. You are humiliated. You are humble on stage. You're appraising the Almighty Judge. But what are the ingredients? Pleases God is petition. Why is that? Well, I read recently that it glorifies God to ask him to do something. It doesn't matter how small that request is. It glorifies God to ask it. Now, God can do more than what we ask or think. But he loves to answer prayers. He loves to hear it. Do you know why? Because it shows you and I can't do the thing that we're asking. So, for instance, when we come to him asking for salvation, he loves to hear that prayer. Because finally, we understand that we cannot save ourselves. Only God can save us. So it's acknowledging God can do something we cannot do. And that, like I said, even the smallest things glorifies God. Habakkuk here is asking for something quite special. And it glorifies God that he's asking it. He doesn't ask now for an easy ride, or that Israel would be rescued somehow, or that Jerusalem wouldn't be ransacked. No, he's praying for something quite more meaningful. He's gone through years of barrenness. Life has been a trudge through lowlands, and life has been routine and duty. And we might feel in the same position where you can't imagine God intervening. You can't imagine it, that he would do something mighty outside of these walls. It's so remote that he would come sweeping down and saving everybody. But Habakkuk is committed and is confident that this is quite possible. He's heard of God's activity in the past. That's humbled him. He adores God for it, and now it gives him confidence to ask this next request. He prays that God will revive his work and make it known. He's asking God to renew, refresh, keep alive the knowledge and experience of God. He's asking it so that Israel can see that God still cares for them. He calls God to give a fresh public manifestation so that it's easier and that people would respond and love him. He's asking God to repeat his mighty acts. He's asking, notice this, he's asking it, God to revive this work, but also to reveal it, make it known. You know, there's no point at all to have all these meetings, Deacon Manu, Jill and Emma. We're having that atheist apologetic soon. You know, there's no point doing all this unless God does the work, but also opens minds and, you know, lets the blind see. There's a two-pronged request there, isn't there? And let me ask you, do you pray for the reviving of God's work and revealing? On youth club, on a weekly night, we have 45 to 50 kids, that's just the older club, who've never heard the gospel. Every week they come in here and out. There's no point God doing a work, but not revealing it. So let's pray earnestly that he would do just that. And that's why David read that passage in Luke when Jesus sat down. He declared his manifesto and he read an Old Testament passage where he declares that the blind will see. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I love the fact that Jesus came to reveal these things, but we must still pray that he does open the eyes of the blind. What else can we take from verse 2? It says, in the midst of the years. It says that twice. What does that mean? Well, Habakkuk wants it to be now. He doesn't want God to delay. He knows it will happen. It's a case of, don't delay. I want to see it myself. And the other things we can take from this is, in wrath, remember mercy. We deserve God's wrath because we are sinners. But God is merciful. In Exodus 34, when God sets out the Ten Commandments, he knows the children of God are going to fail miserably to comply with these laws. But these words are said in Exodus 34. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. So he is a holy God, and we deserve to have his wrath, but yet he is merciful. Now, I'm coming to an end, but think of it like this now, because I'm going to come back to this illustration of being on this stage. We are humble, we adore God, and now our petitions. But I want to make this point very clear. Even then, we are weak and hopeless. Here, Habakkuk is a prophet. He has divine communication with God. Surely he is the one to mediate between the Heavenly Father and Israel. But we live now in light of the new covenant, and our Lord Jesus Christ is our mediator. We pray through the Son. So we may be on this stage. We are pathetic. But Jesus presents our prayer and it is accepted. And God turns in his chair and shows his favor on us. He is a high priest. He can come before God in the Holy of Holies and intercedes for us. The Spirit as well. The day of Pentecost, Tim was remembering this morning. And the Spirit has a part to play as well. Let's read Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So, as we pray, and I can say that this prayer was also a song sung by Israelites, that it would hit the right notes. And as we pray, we should be praying with humility, adoration, and petition. But Jesus presents it perfect to God.